Good morning, Village Church. Last time I saw Dan, I think I was in Albania. It's good. Good to see him and good to be with you this morning. I want to say thank you to Pastor David and Matt and Aaron for the last few weeks, our partnership series, talking to us about theological partnership and relational partnership and material partnership here at the Village. And this week, what I want to do is sort of wrap things up by connecting the previous 3 weeks of our partnership series and showing us, I hope, how our theological partnership, the way we think theologically, the way we share our theological beliefs, and our relationships, our relational partnership, and our resources, our money, our possessions, our things, that how we can use all of those things and apply all of those things toward a missional partnership, a mission that Jesus has given us together. And we want to do this because this is what Jesus has been doing. He's been calling us into something together from the beginning. He's been calling his disciples into something together from the beginning. He's been calling his disciples into something bigger than themselves from the beginning. And so what I want to do this morning, hopefully, is to call us into something bigger than ourselves as we talk about missional partnership, as we apply our theological, relational, and material partnership toward that end. And I guess the question this morning is, maybe it's rhetorical, is isn't this what we all really want? Isn't this what we all really want? To give ourselves to something that is beyond ourselves, to give ourselves to something that is bigger than ourselves. This past week, I had the privilege to ski 2 days with some people from Disabled Sports USA and warfighters who were disabled in war. And I skied with a guy, Black Diamond Runs. He had one good leg and one prosthetic limb, and he hung with me and my friend on the steepest stuff you could do. It was amazing time, amazing people. And they have this whole community of people that has been called into something that is bigger than themselves. And it was quite an inspirational sort of couple of days. I was really honored to be with them. As you think about the life of the church, like, this is what we're invited into. We're invited into something that's way bigger than any one of us, into some mission, some purpose that's way beyond us, the biggest purpose, the biggest mission we could ever be called into or invited into. A desire for our lives to be connected to and live for something bigger than ourselves. And we know that Jesus created human beings and he knows the human condition. And so when I say, isn't this something we want? And inside of you, probably something leaps. Yes, I want to be part of something bigger than myself. Jesus knows that. He created human beings. He knows the human condition. And so what he does is he just speaks into it boldly and he speaks into it directly here in Mark chapter 1. Now, I want to say and pause for a moment and say that as I'm in Mark chapter 1 this morning, I'm not going to approach this like I generally would or we generally would on a Sunday morning. We're going to use Mark chapter 1 more as a springboard into talking about the mission and vision of our church. And if you're new with us in the Village Church, I want to tell you that we are a church that teaches through books of the Bible and pretty consistently at that. And I'm really excited. Actually, next week, we're going to be starting the book of Hebrews. And if you're a Village partner, you'll be getting a letter from me this week about that. And we're excited to press into that, an overview sermon next week, and then getting into the book of Hebrews. And between that and the summertime and Advent series, it'll probably take us the better part of this entire year. And we couldn't be more excited about that. This morning, I'm going to use Mark chapter 1 here as a springboard into these things. But there's so much here, I'm going to pull just a little bit out for us this morning. Starting in verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This word proclaiming is a word for preaching. It means to proclaim something openly, to proclaim it boldly. Jesus knows the human condition. He created you. He knows that you want to give yourself to something that's bigger than yourself. And so Jesus comes to people like me and you, people like Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he proclaims a bold message to them, people like all of the people in Galilee that he was preaching this message to. He comes and he speaks to it boldly and clearly because he knows it's inside. He knows what's in there. He's calling it out of you and me. He speaks boldly into this, and he speaks boldly and directly to our deepest human desires, and he speaks about something in particular. The kingdom of God is at hand. He speaks boldly and directly into this idea that there is a way of living. There is a reason for living that is infinitely bigger. It's infinitely greater than the way that we're currently living and for the things that we're currently living for. There's a different way of life where he governs our life, and he's over it and in it and through it, and it's a bigger and better life than we can ever imagine without him. This is part of what it means to live our life in light of the kingdom of God. There is more to life than the everyday, ordinary things of life. But this more to life should change the way we do the everyday, ordinary things of our lives, as we'll talk about this morning. And I think it's so interesting that after Mark records Jesus proclaiming these things, he follows it with Jesus meeting people in the midst of the everyday, ordinary things of their life and then changing their life forever. This is literally what happens, calling them into these things that are bigger than themselves. Look at verse 18 or 16 to 18. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. I don't know what you typically think about the scene, but this is a normal, everyday, ordinary scene. Peter and Philip are fishermen. They're doing their business. They're doing their work. And I don't know how many sermons you've heard on this particular passage, but I've heard quite a few. And I've read a couple commentaries that actually say, you know, sometimes you look at this like, oh, you know, Peter and Andrew, they have this little boat and they're just trying to catch a few fish to sort of, you know, feed their family. Some commentators say, like, based on some of the passages in the New Testament, that Peter and Andrew could have had, like, a fleet of boats, like a small business or a thriving business in the midst of an area that really needed what they had to provide. It's an everyday, ordinary circumstances of guys going to work and working hard. They're fishermen. And yes, they want to provide for their families, and they want to make a living, and they want their families to have good experiences in life, I'm sure. And I think they have this kind of work hard, rest hard mentality, right? Or I guess that was just thrown into their culture. They work 6 days, and on the Sabbath day, they rest. And I don't know if you can relate to this a little bit. This is an everyday, ordinary kind of thing around here, that we live in the midst of a culture that has this similar kind of mentality, this sort of work hard, rest hard, or for some of us, I guess, work hard, play hard kind of mentality. We want to do our jobs well. We want to see them flourish and grow. We want to care for our families. We want to meet the needs of our families. We want to provide good experiences and things for them. And these are the everyday, ordinary things of life. And Jesus enters into their life and he shows them that, listen, there is more to life than this. There is more to life than just helping your business to thrive. Although that's a wonderful part of life and part of God's great cultural mandate. And there's more to life than providing for our families, although that's one of the most important things that we do as people and as Christians. And there's more to life than just sort of this work hard and then rest hard mentality and doing those same things day in and day out. There's bigger things than just those things that we apply to our own sort of little kingdoms. Right? It's so easy to get involved in this sort of everyday reality where we go to work and we do our work and we provide for our families and we work hard and then we rest hard and then we do it again and Monday comes again and over and life just becomes part of those things. And it's all centered around things that are very, very good things. Look, Jesus doesn't call Peter and Andrew out of bad things. He calls them out of very good and natural, everyday, ordinary things of life. But what he tells them is there's something more to life than just these things. And I want to change the way that you do life. And I can change the way you do life even in the midst of these things. Jesus tells them and all of his disciples, including us, that to get the life that we truly want, though, we will have to do something that we don't naturally want, that we're not naturally inclined to want. Did you catch that? Verses 14 to 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaimed the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know, we all know that we're created for something that's bigger than ourselves, and that's something we all want. But to get what we really want, we're going to have to do something we're not naturally inclined to want, and that's to repent, that's to change. That's to believe in him and place all our faith and all our trust and all our hope in every area of our life to him. And then to stop living our lives just for the everyday, ordinary things of life, especially if it's to build our own little kingdoms, and to start living our life for him and his great big purposes and promises. This is what repentance is about. Stop doing one thing and start doing the other. And I believe Jesus is inviting them into something very big here. And to get into that big thing, they have to stop just seeing life in this little way, and they have to start seeing life in a much larger way. And I got to tell you, my trip to Albania really, really helped me with that at the beginning of this year. To be in a different place, in a different culture, and to be overseas again, and to see the world and places where people will never hear the name of Jesus unless someone goes and tells them. There's so much more to life than the everyday, ordinary things of my life, or especially if I'm building my own little kingdom over here. So to get the life we really want, the life that's bigger than ourselves, the life in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to turn. We're going to have to stop, and we're going to have to start. After having heard this message from Jesus at some point, repent and believe in the gospel, I believe Peter and Andrew and James and John, I believe they heard the preaching of Jesus. And now here they are doing their work, their everyday ordinary things. And having been directly approached by Jesus, they respond to Jesus. Verse 16 to 18, and immediately they left their nets and they followed him. That's Simon and Andrew. What about James and John? Going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and their hired servants, and they followed him. You get that? Their father and their hired servants. They had a thriving business, most likely. They left their father, the one who likely started it, and it was passed down from his father. And now all their servants and the people that are with them and all the business that they're doing and the livelihood and their way of life, they left it all. Immediately they followed Jesus. And most of you have been Christians a long time, and if you have not been, you're hearing this message this morning. You have heard the message from Jesus. And if you're a Christian this morning, you have been approached by Jesus. And so if you're a Christian this morning, the question is, how will we respond to Jesus as we've heard the message from him and been approached by him? Now, will you follow him into the invitation to not just a life that's lived in the everyday, ordinary things of life for those things in life, but to a life that's bigger than yourself? Will you accept his invitation into literally the biggest thing you could ever give your life for? The greatest person you could ever give your life to, and the biggest thing you could ever give your life for. Knowing Jesus and following him, living your life with him and for him. What is the mission that is most basic at this point in the ministry of Jesus? What's the first mission that Jesus calls his disciples to? It's our theme verse for the year, Mark 1:17. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Following Jesus and fishing for mankind. Following Jesus and going out to seek out and those who don't yet know and love and follow and serve him the way that we do, by his grace. And we do this at the Village Church in this way, where we've described this at the Village Church in this way, and you've been around our church for a while, you know this, that the Village Church exists to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples who are delighting in Jesus and who are declaring the good news about Jesus and who are displaying the life of Jesus. And as a church, we talk about this idea, we want to glorify God, we want to bring glory to God by growing and multiplying disciples. And isn't that interesting? Growing and multiplying disciples, following Jesus and fishing for men. Following Jesus is the same, I believe, as growing disciples. And fishing for men is the same as multiplying disciples. That's what we're about. And it's so reassuring to read these words of Jesus after we made the mission statement for our church. I hope we're on the right track. That we want to follow Jesus and fish for men. We want to help grow and multiply disciples here at the Village Church. Having this consistent, ongoing life of discipleship and evangelism. Growing and multiplying, following and fishing. How do we do this? Well, we say we do this by delighting in Jesus and declaring the good news about Jesus and displaying the life of Jesus. We believe every village needs Jesus. And so this morning, I want to take the remainder of our time just to talk with you about the ways that we have always been wanting to do this. And they're not just ways that we want to do this. I believe they're ways that Jesus wants us to do this. A few years ago, as we refined our mission statement as a church to this current mission statement, I went through the New Testament, and I personally combed through the New Testament, and I spent a lot of time looking over the New Testament and seeing how is it that God's people actually do this. If we're going to make this the mission and vision of our church, it can't just be our vision. It has to be his vision. It can't just be something that we want. We're just elders in a local church. It can't just be like, hey, this is our little mission kingdom thing over here. No. It has to be his big kingdom thing. It has to be connected. So I combed through the New Testament to say, you know, how have God's people delighted in him since the beginning? How have they declared the good news about him since the beginning? How have they displayed his life to each other and the people around him from the beginning? That's what we want to get at this morning. We don't want to call you into our little mission. We want to call you into his big mission. We're not inviting you to follow us in the sense. We're inviting you to follow Jesus. Obviously, as our pastors, we love you to follow us as we're following Jesus, but we want you to follow after him. It's his mission. And so we want to invite you into his things. We believe these are his things. This morning, we want to invite you to delight in Jesus. And there's four ways that I've found in the New Testament that are really, really clear that God's people do these things. And because they're so clear, I'm just going to give you a heads up. They're pretty simple. I mean, they're pretty simple. You may sit this morning and say, yeah, that's clear and that's simple. And the question is that something that I'm doing? If it's that clear and it's that simple, are these things that you are doing, are these things that we are doing consistently together? The first one is this, delighting in him through his word. We want to delight in him and enjoy him through his word. It reveals his heart, right? His mind, his delight in us as his people. We see this happening in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was the teaching of the Old Testament. They opened the Word of God and they taught it to God's people. We want to be people who are delighting in Jesus through his word. This is a really delightful scenario here in Acts chapter 2. And part of the reason it's delightful is because they're in the word of God and they're delighting in God's word together. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul reminded the Thessalonian church, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word." What word? The word of God as it was taught. They delighted in it. They received it gladly in much affliction. And how do I know gladly? With the joy of the Holy Spirit. That their lives were marked by delighting in God's word. And Paul calls them out and he notes them. He says, "I remember this. I know this. Everyone knows this about you." Village Church, this year we have a scripture reading plan, and it's been good for me to be in it. I've enjoyed, again, as I said last week, the 5 days on and the kind of 2 days off, the break on the weekend. I'm still going to finish the Bible in a year. I want to invite you into that. Markers are on the back, or you can find them online, delighting in God's word through his word. In your own times, through our Bible studies, our men's and women's studies, still time to get into the men's study. This year in community group, we're going to be spending a lot of time just simply sharing with each other, here's what we're reading in God's word, and here's how it's impacting my life, and hearing that from others. We're going to delight in God through his word. Secondly, delighting in him through prayer. We want to delight in him, to enjoy him through prayer. And prayer is as much about, or I think more about, delighting in him than getting things from him. And so we want to continue to do this year as a church as well. We see this in the early church. They gave themselves to many things, including, as it said, the prayers, which is the regular prayers, which meaning that they prayed together multiple times a day. They prayed together. We want to be a praying church who's delighting in Jesus this way. Philippians 1, 3 to 5, Paul thanked the Philippian church, and he remembered them. He says, "He always, in every prayer of him, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." We know that Paul's expressing this to them because he has joy in them, and they have joy in him, and they have joy in Jesus together because they're partnered in the gospel together. Matter of fact, this verse is where our whole idea of partnership comes from, delighting in him through prayer. And this year, we're going to continue delighting in him through corporate prayer. If you're a Village partner, you know that that's going to happen a little bit differently this year. Instead of meeting here together on Wednesdays at one place at one time, that's geographically a little bit hard to get to for many of you. Again, work hard, rest hard. And we know that midweek, you're working hard, okay? So now we're going to have regional prayer gatherings. We believe more of us will be praying regionally together than when we came together on a Wednesday night once a month. We're also going to have a couple gatherings through our year where we fast and pray together for a day. And then we gather and we break our fast with a big meal and we all gather here corporately together to pray. And just that's what it's about, eating and praying. It's not about a bunch of other stuff. It's not a block party. It's just eating and praying. We want to be a praying church together. We want to invite you to delight in Jesus that way. Thirdly, delighting in him through fellowship. Right? We want to delight in him and enjoy him together. We want to do this together. We see this in Acts 2 again. They gave themselves to many things, including, it's called the fellowship, right? It's literally that clear. It's the fellowship. They knew exactly what it is. That fellowship of the believers that surrounds all of these things and more. Pastor Aaron, I think, did a great job with this last week talking to us about relational partnership, and the content of his sermon was very solid. And if you missed some of it, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was rooted here in Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Some people actually do that. There was a whole group of people that did that in the audience that the author of Hebrews is writing to. And there are all kinds of people, especially in Orange County. Orange County Christianity can be sort of fraught with this idea that we neglect to meet with each other so often. We have all kinds of other things that we would do. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so Sunday mornings, and some things about that that you'll see that'll be different and I think exciting starting next week. Not too different, but just some new elements and some new liturgies and things that will kind of rhythms we'll add in together. And it's going to be good for us together to gather on Sundays, to gather in community groups. I know that right now there's actually more community groups starting. There's a new community group starting in Tustin. I talked to a leader 2 weeks ago. A new leader wants to get started. A new group wants to birth. We want to invite you in to that community. I know some of you find that community in Bible study. I saw pictures from the men's study. A lot of new guys around the table. And if you're new with us, welcome. You know, come on into our community. But I also want to say that we want to do this through hospitality. This is one of our values as a church. And we just want to encourage you just to invite one another into your homes this year. Maybe more than you have in previous years. That we could delight in Jesus together. Not just when we're gathered in the church, but when we're gathered in our homes. And just the normal, everyday, ordinary things of life. And then lastly, delighting in him through worship and song. The church did this. The church did this. They followed the rhythms of the synagogue, and they changed up their songs a bit, of course, and they used the psalms, so many of them stayed the same. But this was part of their liturgy. We see this affecting their lives, and we see this affecting the life of Jesus and his disciples. They're leaving the garden, and they're leaving the upper room, and they're singing hymns. We see this. The church sings together. This is a really interesting one here where Paul and Silas are actually in prison, and they're singing and praying. And you figure, if you're singing and praying in prison, you're probably doing that, you know, when you're alone. You don't do that in prison if you're not already doing it when you're not in prison. Like, this was a normal sort of rhythm of the early church. We sing. And I don't know if you've ever had that strange, like you come into a church and maybe you become a Christian and you're like, man, we're singing all these songs to Jesus and that's kind of cool. It's kind of strange. Like, why do we do that? There's all kinds of reasons we do it, because we express our affections to him. We stretch our affections to him and we do it in song. Ephesians 5 says this, and do not get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Live a Spirit-filled life. And what does that kind of life look like? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. You say, well, does that mean like singing a song to someone? Maybe. I heard a guy give a testimony the other day of someone who sang a song to him, or I think he sang a song to someone, and it really blessed them. It felt like he was supposed to do that. I had that experience one time. I was at a Renovare conference for Richard Foster, and I was standing around all these people, and they asked all the pastors to stand up, and I stood up, and then they said, can everyone else stand up and face them? And like everyone else, you know, faced us, and they like sang this song to us, like, grace to you, peace to you. All of a sudden, it was really, really uncomfortable. It was really just like thousands of people staring at you singing, grace to you, and I'm like, thank you, you know, right? That can feel uncomfortable. God says, that's fine. Be uncomfortable. If I tell you to do that, do it. But the reality is we sing with each other all the time, and we encourage each other to sing these songs unto God. Village Church, we're going to do this year as we always have, singing to Jesus, delighting in him this way. Sunday morning liturgy, as I said, you'll see some of this and through your personal worship. I don't know if you follow me on social media. You probably don't, because I don't have very many followers. I'm not very important. But the other day, I posted something in my story. I listened to this Chris Tomlin story in my personal worship time that I hadn't heard in a long time, and it really impacted me. You know, and in the morning, I listen to a few songs before I open scripture, my personal worship time. I just want to encourage you, like, worship God through song. Do it. Delight in him that way. He's always wanted his people to do this. Hey, I'm going to throw one last slide here up in on this section, and just I want you to take a look at this just for a moment. Again, this is really clear, but really simple. If it's that clear and that simple, is your life filled with these things? His word, prayer, fellowship, worship and song. If you're like a note-taking person, or if you're like just a mental note person, could you just take a moment and make a note? Is there one of these things that you think you should really actually apply some more focus and intentionality to this year? Would you just take a moment and look and see what that is? And then we're going to do this thing just in a minute where like we repeat this out loud, but it's going to be kind of like, so we're going to all say, this year I will delight in Jesus more deeply through, and we're all going to say our thing. But it's going to be different, but maybe some of the same. We're going to say it out loud. You're going to hear mine. You guys ready? Have you had time to think? All right, here we go. This year, I will delight in Jesus more deeply through fellowship. All right. I hope you commit to that. I hope the person next to you heard you. We'll be committed to you to help you in these things. Secondly, declaring the good news about Jesus. All right, we just don't delight in Jesus together. We declare the good news about Jesus. And the church has always been about this. And how do we do this? One, we declare the good news about Jesus through preaching. We declare it through preaching the gospel on a regular basis, preaching his word and preaching the gospel. At the Village Church, we have a good news statement every week. And the intention of the good news statement is to take a truth of the gospel and the truth in the passage and the truth about your life and to try to build a bridge between those things. We want to be a church that's gospel-oriented, preaching and declaring his word and the good news about his word and his gospel. This is the primary way God declares his words to his people, and this will be the primary way we declare his words to his people. Acts 5:2, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease what? Teaching and preaching Jesus is the Christ. This was the emphasis of their preaching, and they did it unceasingly, and we will do the same. Romans 10:14, and how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how will they hear unless someone is preaching? Village Church, I want to tell you that I will be and we will be as committed as we've ever been to preaching God's word to you as we open the book of Hebrews. We're all excited together as pastors about it. It's going to be a great year in God's word. We really believe that.
but we want you to believe that you're also called to preach and to proclaim the word of God. Romans 10 here reminds us that this is not just the pastor or the preacher's responsibility. This is all of our opportunity, that we have an opportunity to preach the good news, to declare. That word literally means to declare, to proclaim, or to herald the good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to do this on Sundays through our Hebrew series throughout this year, but we want to encourage you to personally be proclaiming these things to the people around you. And if you need help with that, please come and ask. We would love to help you in that way. Your community would love to come around you and empower you and embolden you as you go to proclaim his good news to the people around you. We can also declare the good news not just through preaching, but through teaching. And preaching and teaching are just a little bit different, but they accomplish some of the same things. The preaching maybe is more inspirational. The teaching is maybe a little bit more informational. The preaching motivates us in some ways to do things. The teaching sort of informs us maybe in some deeper ways about our faith. We want to do both of those things. The church always has. We want to. Every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease what? Teaching and preaching. And we want to be teaching the word of God as well. This is what the New Testament calls us to, Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone what? With all wisdom, why? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. We want you to be informed. We want you to not just be inspired. We want you to be informed. We want you to know what you believe and why you believe it and who it is that you believe in and what he's like and what he wants of us together. And so we want to be teaching together, and we'll continue to do that through our Bible studies, men's and women's. We'll address areas of need. This year, there are a couple areas of need that we're going to address. And if you're a Village partner, you know that we're going to address that in a way that it can also meet the needs of the church, but you could also invite someone else from outside of our church in, and we believe it would meet their need as well. One of the current needs that seems to be popping up, just so you know, is marriage. As we talk as pastors, it just seems like we need some work. We need to do some work together on what does biblical marriage look like and how can we help each other to thrive in marriage and the marriages that God's created us for. And if you're a single adult with us or a college student is not yet married, you know, maybe you would really benefit from that, looking at, you know, what does marriage look like and what am I looking forward to? What am I praying for? What am I preparing myself for? This is one example of an area of need that we want to help maybe address this year. Matt Bowman, last year, summer seminars, and you can look forward to a summer seminar this summer. And also personal teaching, that you could teach one another. We're going to have one-on-one discipleship this year. And Pastor Darren and his wife are piloting this sort of program in the life of the church. And some of you will be invited into it. And that'll multiply. And we'll teach each other on a one-on-one basis to help us grow more deeply in our faith. We're excited about it. We hope you are too. We can declare the news, good news about Jesus through personal relationships. This is the way it always happens. It happens most always happens relationally. Sometimes we declare the good news about Jesus and we have no idea who it is that we're talking to. They're perfect strangers. God invites us to talk with them. Most of the time, if not much of the time, this happens through personal relationships. This is what the church did and the fellowship. They were fellowshipping together through personal relationships and they invited others in. And again, Hebrews reminds us about this. Let us consider how to stir one another up, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another in all the more as the day is drawing near. That this declaring the truths about God and the truths about his gospel, this happens when we gather together. It happens in personal relationship. It happens as our relationships grow and deepen as we gather together more and more often. And we'll get to know each other more deeply. This happens in personal relationship, both inside and outside of the church. And so we hope that this is going to happen with you again in community groups. We'll also have kind of a little missional focus in that. And as we pray for one another, we're going to pray for people around us, that we will be able to declare the good news to them through these personal relationships. And you'll see a lot of that coming out in your community groups this year. And lastly, we declared the good news about Jesus through personal evangelism. Through personal evangelism. It's not just the relationship where we're building the equity. It's the actual evangelism. It's heralding the good news, where we actually tell them about the sinless life and the substitutionary death and the resurrection of Jesus and what difference that makes in forgiving our sin and uniting us together with God in Christ and giving us an entirely different life and inviting us into the life of the kingdom, this life that's much bigger than ourselves. At some point, we actually evangelize. We share that good and what we consider actually great news about the truth of the gospel and the place of Jesus in our lives. And so we'll be doing that on Sunday mornings, and you'll have an opportunity to bring your friends or your family on Sunday mornings. I want to tell you, and I want to commit to you, that when I open the Bible on a Sunday morning, I will do something to address people that are not yet Christians. And with that said, if you are not yet a Christian, we are glad that you're here. And we're glad that you're with us, and we want you to understand who Jesus is and what he has done, and we want to invite you in to the life that he has for you and for us and for everyone that he's created in his image. We want to invite you into that. And on a Sunday morning, I want to commit to you that I will do the best that I can to address any non-Christian or pre-Christian, not yet believing friends or family members that you have, that there will be an opportunity on a Sunday to do that. I also want to tell you that we're planning a thing called Plan a Visit to the Village, and there's a Connect team that's growing, and the plans are forming, and we're planning this great idea where people can plan a visit to the Village Church. If you're in a place where you're like, maybe you're too tenuous to invite someone, or maybe you just don't know how to do that very well, and so you haven't been very much, or it just seems intimidating, or you don't have the time, or whatever the reasons, and I can relate to all of them. We're developing a plan of visit to the Village that will eventually be on the website, and people will be able to click and say, here's who I am, and here's where I live, and thank you. And if you're a Village partner, we'd want to contact you if you're open and willing. And we want to say, hey, here's a photo of this family that's kind of like you, and they're going to meet you outside at this time, and they're going to walk you around, and they're going to help you check in your kids and introduce you to people and see the things that are going on, and they'll offer to sit with you. But you can sit by yourself if you want. You know, we're just going to plan an invitation in. Be a great way for you to participate and to help someone get connected in the life of the church, maybe someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. We're also thinking about partnering with Search Ministries this year, a ministry that has open forums where if you have friends and family members that aren't yet Christians, that they can be invited into a backyard somewhere, and in a very winsome way we can talk about the things that might be obstacles to them. And we'll be able to help you in that way and provide opportunity for you through personal evangelism. So again, I just want to pause just for a moment and throw up another slide. It's coming. There we go. Preaching, teaching, personal relationships, personal evangelism. And again, these things are very clear, very basic, very simple and clear. And if they're simple and clear, they should be a really, really robust part of our lives, right? But maybe not so much sometimes. And so if there's one thing that you would say, like, I would commit this year, as best I can by the grace of God, that I would commit to declaring the good news about Jesus in this way. Would you just take a moment and think about it? I mean, there's four things. Maybe it doesn't take you that long to think. I want to remind you the preaching is not just for me or your other pastors. It's for you. It's for all of us proclaiming the good news, right? All right, you ready? This year, I will declare the good news of Jesus more clearly through personal evangelism. Nice. I saw some of you mimic the same thing I did. I'm with you. I'm glad. Lastly this morning, we display the life of Jesus. Village Church, we are all about delighting in Jesus and declaring the good news about Jesus and displaying the life of Jesus. And guess what? There are ways that his people have always done this. I'm going to tell you again, it's very clear. It's very simple. And if it's that clear and simple, I'm hoping that all five of these things are part of all of our lives. But I thought just in case, I might go over it, okay? So the first one is this, that we want to delight in Jesus, or rather display the life of Jesus through a lifestyle of love. Through a lifestyle of love seems fairly simple. And I want to start with Jesus here instead of the book of Acts because this begins with him. It all begins with him. But I want to tell you that as I actually went through the book of Acts, I didn't find the word love popping up that much in terms of how you would love another person. And at first I thought it was kind of strange, and then it dawned on me, actually the book of Acts would not do that, because you know what the book of Acts is? It's not about things people are saying necessarily, although they are proclaiming the gospel and the love of God. It's about what they are doing. And love is a very action-oriented thing. You've heard the phrase, love is a verb, and this makes sense. John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Against such things there is no law. You know, love is first, and many commentators believe the love is preeminent and everything else flows out of that. That as we act in love, this will be the way that we will act. That the fruit of love is all of these other things. And either way you cut it, it's either the first one announced or it's the one that informs all of the others. Needless to say, a lifestyle of love, unconditional love for God and others is at the core of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. It's at the core of his love for us. It's at the core of the way we would display his love to other people. This is one of the things I love about Pastor Aaron. When we gather together as elders or as staff and he's present, or just when we're together as friends, he often says, you know, when there's a discussion, well, what is the loving thing to do? What is the most loving thing to do? I think that's a great question. Maybe that would be a good question for us as we seek to display the love of Jesus in any particular circumstance. Just pause for a moment and say, what would be the most loving thing to do? And that might be the right thing to do. Secondly, displaying him through a lifestyle of obedience. A lifestyle of obedience. We want to display him through a lifestyle of obedience because we want people to see more and more of who he is through our lives, right? Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses of these things. As they proclaim the gospel, the good news about Jesus, he says, we're witness of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given, what? To those who obey him. That's amazing. I paused this week as I looked at this again. I thought to myself, that he gives to those who obey him, which it can't mean that he gives the Holy Spirit to people that are obeying him to regenerate their hearts to become Christians. No, he's saying, as we obey him, there's a fuller measure of God's Spirit, I think, that's active in our lives. And it allows us to display more of who Jesus is to the people around us. That this is the idea of obedience, that the more we obey Jesus, the more we're conformed into the image of Jesus, the more we live like him in obedience, because he lived in perfect obedience to the Father, the more we display his life to the people around us. And really, this comes down to personal holiness. And this year at the Village Church Partners, I want to encourage you to think about personal holiness in your life. Maybe if you haven't had an accountability partner in a while, this would be a good year for that. Maybe just looking at certain practices in your life that you know need to be addressed, cleaned up a little bit. You know it. Maybe people around you know it. Personal holiness, right? Living our lives in obedience so we would display more of him, not just on our own kind of effort, but again, right here, as the Holy Spirit is given to us and empowers us to live and obey Jesus in these ways. Thirdly, display him through a lifestyle of service. That Jesus was a servant, and so we want to display him through a lifestyle of service. And if you look throughout the book of Acts, they're serving other people. This is the hallmark of the life of Jesus, one of the hallmarks of the life of Jesus. That's what we see in Luke chapter 22. Jesus says, this is not going to be so with you. You're not going to lead this way. You're going to lead a different way. Let the greatest among you become the youngest, and the leader the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? In that culture, it was the one that reclined at the table. That was the important person. Jesus says, but I am among you as one who serves. And I think that's part of the reason why, as Paul addresses the Romans, the Roman church in Romans chapter 12, he gives this long list of all these things that Christians should do. Just simple, boom, 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 Christian behavior. He says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. It starts with our service to him, and it overflows into service to others. And so this year at the Village Church, this is one of the ways we will display him to each other and to the people around us. I just want to pause for a moment and say, I think this is one of the greatest ways that we can do, this is one of the greatest areas that we can grow in this year as a church. Serving one another and serving those around us. There are a lot of people that serve here in the life of the Village Church, in the Village Kids especially. There are areas in the life of the Village Church where we struggle to have people volunteering or being eager and fervent in spirit, as it says here in Romans, to come alongside and serve. Some of the basic, like set up, tear down, clean up, be here to help set up an event, kind of logistic kinds of things. There are areas of the life of this church where our church needs our help. We need to display the life of Jesus to each other by serving each other. I've talked with people in the life of our church who do this really, really well. And I think sometimes they feel like, hey, it would be great to have one or two other folks around, you know, in these kinds of ways. I think we have some areas to grow in here in these ways. And I think we have a long ways to grow in serving people outside the walls and windows of our church. I wanted to pause this morning and just tell you as a church, you know, I'm not sure I really led you all very well this past year that way in 2019. I think one of the reasons is that there are a few things that came up in 2019 that I think kept me personally a little bit myopic, a little bit sort of looking inward. I think kept us as leaders looking inward a little bit. I'm really excited this year about our emphasis in Mark 1:17, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. This has to be a both and. We have to follow Jesus well together and we have to go fish for mankind. We have to do both of those things. And I couldn't be more excited to do that. And I'm looking forward to leading the way, hopefully, by God's grace, in this area this year, that we would serve one another really well and serve those outside the walls and windows of our church really well, which I think we have a lot of room to grow. Fourthly, displaying him through biblical community. Through biblical community. I don't ask that for these only, as Jesus prays to the Father, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, and me, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the way that they're going to know. They're going to see our biblical community. We see this in Acts chapter 2 at the end of this really great passage about all these things that they're doing together. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So again, that invitation into community group, that invitation into our gatherings, the invitation into the community. I want you to invite each other into your homes more often this year. Invitation into biblical community. And lastly, displaying him through acts of mercy. Acts of mercy. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells a parable about this looks like. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. He gives a very good description of what it looks like. He says, which of these three do you think at the end of the parable proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the neighbors? And he said, to the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. If there was a hallmark to life and ministry of Jesus, this would be it. Jesus is extending mercy, healing, helping, teaching, meeting needs. This is all he did day in and day out. Mercy is the thing that characterized the life and the ministry of Jesus. And I would hope that it would be the thing that would characterize our lives as followers of Jesus as well. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing proceeds to all as any had need. That's a very merciful thing to do. They were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord is adding to the number day by day those who are being saved. These acts of mercy, I think, were a big part of that. People need God's mercy. People want God's mercy. People are waiting for God's people to extend God's mercy to them. And when they do, people come in. People want to be part of that. People see the life of Jesus through a life that's lived out of mercy. Village Church, these are the ways: delighting in Jesus, declaring the good news about Jesus, and displaying the life of Jesus. I just want to pause for one last time at the end of this section, and I want to throw these things on the board for you. I just want you to look at them for a moment. What would be the loving thing to do? Personal holiness. Being last instead of first as a servant. Opening your life to others in biblical community. Acts of mercy. Which one would he invite you in? If there was one that he would invite you in 2020, what would it be? Can we commit to it together? This year, I will display the life. Okay, I gotta start again. I'm sorry, I didn't give you enough time. Let's just say this robustly, okay? This year, I will display the life of Jesus more clearly through acts of mercy. Nice. Okay. I hear little ones all over. We're making commitments to each other and to Jesus in some way this morning. I hope you take that seriously. I know that I want to. Okay. Village Church, the Village Church exists to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples who are delighting in Jesus, declaring the good news about Jesus, and displaying the life of Jesus, because every village needs Jesus. If you've been around the Village Church a while, you know that this phrase, because every village needs Jesus, we sort of kind of took out a couple of years ago because it seemed cumbersome and the mission statement was too long and mission statements aren't supposed to be long, supposed to be short, blah, blah, blah. And my sense is that it might have affected us a little bit, not mentioning this enough. It might have affected us not getting outside of ourselves enough the last couple of years. You know, my trip to Albania really reinforced this for me. First day we were there, we kind of prepped. The second day we were there, we went to a little village. In the village were no known Christians, two mosques, very lowly educated population. I really wondered, what is this going to be like? We went in to do the earthquake relief, and one of the things I realized after being there that day, God broke my heart. It was this village that was up on this hillside overlooking this huge valley and another hillside. And ironically, it's right next to a harbor where they believe the Ignatian Road might have ended and Paul might have actually made his voyage from, you know, that part of Europe over to Rome from that place. And this village literally overlooks that harbor. And there are no Christians there. And no one will ever hear about Jesus there unless someone goes there. Village Church, at the end of the day, like, that's the ends of the earth, but this city is made up of 20-some-odd villages, and we want there to be a presence of God's people from the Village Church in all of those villages. And a village could be seen as a little place in a city, or it can be seen as a city or a community or the neighborhood that you live or the association that you live in. And this is why we're doing what we're doing. We want to delight in Jesus, and we want to declare the good news about Jesus, and we want to display the life of Jesus. Why? Because at the end of the day, every village needs Jesus. The one that you might live in here in Irvine, like the village of Northwood that I live in, or the association that you live in a city that neighbors this city in Tustin, or Aliso, or Lake Forest, or that hillside that overlooks that harbor in an obscure place in Albania. There are people there that will never hear the good news about Jesus unless we're living this way. But as we are living this way, guess what? Every village will see Jesus. And you know what? That village is going to see Jesus. Why? Because Andy's going there with his church. And because of your generosity, we've provided so many things for them. And they're going to go back on a regular basis, and they're going to proclaim the gospel there. And they are going to hear about Jesus in that village. Will they hear about him in yours? Will they hear about him in mine? By God's grace, they will. Village Church, Jesus is calling us into a really big mission. It is huge. It's so much bigger than Irvine or Orange County or the little place that we live, although it begins there. Every village needs him. And so this year, I want to tell you that I'm going to be pretty darn focused on this little sandbox analogy. I'm going to invite the band up because we've got a few other things that we should do this morning. But this year at the Village Church, I just want to commit to you that as we play together, sort of, in the playground here in the middle, that really anything that we do together as a Village Church will be governed by these things. That the things that will sort of surround this little playground, that we all get to delight in Jesus together and declare the good news and display his life, we get to do all this stuff, that as we look at anything that we do, it has to be about us delighting in him and declaring the good news and displaying his life. It has to be sort of governed by all of our core values, biblical authority and gospel centrality and prayer and joy and humility and hospitality and outreach. It has to be governed by one or more of those things. And it has to be bookended by this desire to really grow disciples or multiply them. And if it does, then we might just do that thing. And if it doesn't, then we just won't. Because we want to really stay focused on this mission that he's called us into that's so much bigger than ourselves.